Hello everyone, welcome to the Health Hunters podcast. I'm Roxanne.
Fernando here.
And today we're going to talk about, excuse my Latin, number 6 already.
Yeah. Roxanne, can you explain more what this show is about?
It's about, so in this series, we bring two herbs to each other and then we share what we have found. And usually it's connected to the theme of the month. So in this case, it's June, so it's all about Tai Chi. So last week we had this nice episode from Sam, who's a Tai Chi expert. And yeah, so that's what we do.
Yeah, bringing with that. And of course, feel free, guys, to send anything on the comments about other herbs, then we could do like a closer research on it, then can help you out on your daily basis.
Yeah, so my research was more focused on hay fever. I noticed also among my friends that people are suffering or, you know, having more hay fever around because of the pollen in the air with the trees and stuff.
I totally know what you're talking about. I really suffer a lot. I mean, lately I'm being suffer more than
you
than,
have it, huh?
Yeah, it is very, at the moment I'm here crying to find a solution. Of course, I do basic things to avoiding that, you know, different practices, as you know, cleaning the floor has to be always clean, the bed for instance, you have to shake it like the bed linens before you go to bed. But even though, like, if you walk in the street, you still, I still get it.
Yeah, you can notice it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what do you experience then?
Well, what I experience, Rox, is like, remember the, you know, COVID is still a thing, you know, I was saying like, do you remember COVID? But it was mandatory to wear masks. And I completely forgot about this, hay fever because I was using the mask and somehow that kind of protected, you know,
it helped. Like, yeah, so you had helped. Less symptoms or less signs.
Yeah. With wearing the masks. But I know like today is almost like is seen as a political statement when you wear a mask, then actually, you know, come on, man, I'm just using a mask to protect myself. It's not necessarily
a health related thing, but more of a statement or something.
Yeah, it's how people see it, unfortunately. Yeah,
but I mean, if you think about it, I'm sure people are like more aware, or they're like, they find masks normal because we just came from a COVID pandemic, you know. And then I would think that people would find it normal to wear masks.
Yeah.
And if you look at Japan, they, before the whole COVID thing, they were wearing masks just for their own cleanliness and all that stuff. So it also depends on the culture, I would say.
Yeah, the culture. Yeah, that's one of the things. It was not necessarily something that you see it in European culture wearing masks.
Yeah.
For many other reasons, not even probably use it when you have low immunity. And this is not the case, you know, like to have hay fever. It is not a symptom of a low immunity. Perhaps probably could stay even other way around, is trying to get rid of outside.
Yeah, I also saw recently last week in New York, there was this horrible, the worst air polluted day because of the fire forest, that the smog came to New York City and it was the worst air quality in New York. And then I was just looking on YouTube channel, Casey Neistat, and he made a nice video about it. And then he interviewed a person who was wearing a mask and said that it really helped of this air quality thing.
Yeah, I mean, of course, the masks maybe did or maybe not. I didn't make so much research over the subject. And of course, it's very difficult to keep on track of it, if it really helps with COVID or not. But with at least other things.
Yeah, with hay fever, you experienced it?
And unfortunately, it was a thing with doing the situation. But I noticed that other allergies were an alpha mit.
Yeah, and it also helps with air quality, apparently.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, I have to say, I come from the sea. I have palm trees. I don't have these trees that we have here in Amsterdam, right?
It could be also your background, since, you know, originally you're coming from from the beach, so there is no of this certain tree type.
Yeah, no, it exists trees and also produce pollen. I remember when I was there, but it was a very short amount of time that the pollen was on the air. You know,
Or like this season here in the Netherlands, maybe it's worse or something.
Yeah, it's warm, it's windy, and it's just the beginning of summer, right? Like so. Yeah. That's why
summer's coming. Yeah. Anyway, so I've done so much more research on certain types of herbs for hay fever, and you focus on Tai Chi.
Just bring it on. Like, which herb did you actually have it for
you
today?
Guess.
Yeah, because I really, really want to guess what is the best for me.
Okay, excuse my Latin here. Sambucus.
Sambucus. Not from the drink.
No, it's not.
Not sambu-
no. It's also not kombucha.
No, not sambucus. No idea. It is a root?
I'm going to give you a hint. I mean, it is a tree. Yeah, there are so many trees.
It is a tree. Yeah, okay. But which part to use it? Probably for what is normally the part that you use it for the plant?
All parts are used.
All used, stems, leaves, and flowers, and the fruit, and the seeds, and yeah. So it makes it very difficult. Or maybe not, because not all the trees they can do that. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not, you cannot all use it. Every part of it. Which herb is this one?
It's elderberry.
Elderberry, yes, okay, yes, yeah, I get it.
So the sambucus, meaning it's three-pointed harp. That's the meaning.
The meaning of the word, yeah.
Yeah, in Latin. And Romans made this wood, you know, the bark, they made actually harps out of it. So that's an interesting fact. So various species commonly refer to elderflower or elderberry. And it blooms in June. So in a couple of weeks, it's in high bloom. And it has these cream white flowers. And the flowers are made of 5 leaves. And the berries come in September.
In September. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, the fruits is when they...
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so the berries are sweet, sour, you know. I'm not entirely sure what the scent would be. They say that this tree also produces certain scents so that insects won't come.
Repellent.
Yeah.
It's similar to that. It's also a problem right now, right? The mosquitoes. So,
is it?
Yeah, because this is, I think it's the time now that mosquitoes are around the houses.
I mean, in the city, you barely notice about mosquitoes.
Mosquitoes, right? Yes, yeah.
Only if you maybe live near a water area,
which Amsterdam is
it's not.
It's not.
We're in a concrete city.
In a concrete city, like yeah. Well, that's one of the things. Okay, so the mosquito, but exist many other plants who have that type of, you know.
And so yeah, so the part used is the blossoms, the leaves, the bark, and the berries. And now looking at going to the medical application.
Yeah.
So it's really good for the blood. It cleanses and it increases also the blood when needed. It helps for winter feet or for winter feet or hands. So when your hands are cold or your feet are cold in the winter. Mm-hmm. Beneficial for airways. So this is for you. So it relieves cold, sore throat, lung infections, a cough, asthma. And also relieves complaints on top part of the airways. Yeah.
So yeah, it looks like it's a very dilatator, like because it involves the blood system, right, the circulation, but also the respiratory system.
Yeah. And I'm not done yet.
Oh wow.
Good for the kidneys, so it stimulates and it's a diuretic. It helps with rheuma, gout, and arthritis. For the skin, when we have like skin irritations or a rash, also this is a good herb for beginning children's sickness in the skin diseases, measles and chickenpox. It's also good for when you're burned in the sun. I didn't know that.
Nice. But how do you normally take it? Or it exists more in more of the things? Because I know I have so many questions now because it does so much of the good things. How do you consume it? It's internal, external?
I think...
Especially with the burns, like I think it's...
I think it's external, you know, that they make a paste out of it. Mm. Yeah, I would say. I didn't really go into that, but that's what...
But it's one of the homeworks that we have to do later. Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah, yeah.
And then let me see. For the nervous system, it's good for... It gives also calmness, reduced tension. It helps during headache. So for the seeds, you need to watch out. There's this prussic acid, which has this bitter substance. And it's good for cancer therapies.
Wait, do you have to be careful
with this? No. That's no. So it is good. No. Yeah. Okay. There's the other side. So it helps with cancer therapies because of this prussic acid. Mm-hmm. But if you take too much of this prussic acid, it will be toxic. Okay. Obviously, so yeah, be careful for that.
Yeah. As if in anything else, then if you take it too much or too little, it can be toxic for you. Yeah.
And other things for this elderberry is it fights against viruses, it improves immune system, and it stimulates and eliminates waste products. So it's a very powerful herb, I would say.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, it looks like it has so much like of the... Great benefits from it. And I wonder like how many trees are allowed to grow like that, you know, because if it has so much potential, maybe people are actually overdoing it and commercializing this tree and they don't have like the reaching the full potential in terms of sizes.
Have you ever drank elderberry syrup? I mean, it's a typical summer drink, I would say.
Summer drink it is? No, I don't recall to use it like that way.
Okay, it's very nice. It's very nice. But let's go to the contradiction. So eating raw elderberries, it is very toxic. So the seeds, it contains cyanide and glycoside, which can cause a buildup of cyanide and then it makes the body ill, and then
it's a poison. It's quite famous on the Greek history.
So you know that substance.
I think like also apples have that.
Oh, apples have that.
Yeah, you should not eat like. I mean, I don't know if it's like.
I mean, eat a lot of it.
How many seeds apple have?
Oh,
you know what I mean. And how much apples you actually can eat?
Yeah.
Getting all that seeds, I think, is an extraction as usual. These things are always taken when it's too much, and it becomes this toxic.
So it's with anything. If you consume it too much, you need to be careful because then.
Yeah, but exists other ones more lethal, like then it can really kill you than others, especially that in the cyanide. Yeah.
Yeah. So this is one.
That's a good verb. Yeah, that's a good verb.
Okay, Fernando. What's your herb for the Tai Chi?
The Tai Chi, my herb, yeah.
Related.
Yeah, it is, you know, obviously I have to be careful about it, all these kind of things. And I think it's the moment of the disclaimer.
Disclaimer, yeah, do it.
So everything that we search and we talk about, everything we talk about in this show is something that we find it online as any other person can be able to use Google and find stuff, you know, and then obviously the difference it is, we know where to find this data information more narrow with the right scientific studies. But however, none of this information we are saying here is for telling you for starting taking or for any medical use or any other things. No, this is all just to make people curious and asking questions so then we can investigate about it. And together we are hunting for this knowledge to creating this willing web.
And if you have something, please consult your doctor.
Yeah, that's the thing. All your practitioner or consult and ask And it makes it more interesting. It makes it actually people exploring other stuff. Because I believe then different types of practitioners, you know what I mean? Like in terms of GPs, in terms of holistics, they want to hear the other side of the story. You know what I mean? Like to then they matching that up, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's fundamental. Yeah, so this was my disclaimer here. So I was looking at Chinese pharmacology, and it's something first, I don't speak Chinese or read Chinese to get this information, but it came from there, you know, like one of these informations was in an international journey of environment and research and public health about like how Tai Chi is being used for hypertension and hypoglycemia and cholesterol, for instance. Mm. Of course, like this information, you can find many studies with it, but exists a specific style, a Jung style of Tai Chi that is being used for it. It's a little bit, I think, is more dynamic, because the one I did with Sam months ago were very introductional, like for people to be introduced to the Tai Chi. So all of this just to say that the herb that I'm bringing, it comes like from a Chinese herbology, and it's not that difficult. That's it. It calls a cinnamony crostex.
That's the Latin name.
Cinnamonin crostex.
Is it cinnamon?
Yeah, that's cinnamon indeed. So it was not that, it was obvious, like, right? But what I'm just saying is just because of the exist so many informations out there of these type of herbs, then for really grasping what they actually do, you really have to go through this typical Chinese medicine, to many other types of medicine out there to grasping why the reason this is used. So the tree of cinnamon,
it's also a tree.
It is a tree. Mm. It is a tree, and it's the bark, actually. The cinnamon is what we have in kitchens and supermarkets is part of the bark of a tree, and called they have many common names, but the most common name is true cinnamon tree. That's the common name. It's just like it's a true cinnamon tree.
It's a true.
Yeah, exactly. It gets like around 15 to 20 meters tall, like the tree, with oval like shape leaves, quite long leaves.
Are there any types of different types of cinnamon?
Yeah, exist also. And because of it, like for commercial reasons, obviously they use other different types, because you know, to collect all this demandings of so many of cinnamon, of course you can do that, because it's not only used for desserts in Christmas, and it's a little bit like, as we are bringing a little bit off season, you know, Christmas, yeah, and summer, but it's because it's this, in this time she start to peel off, you know what I mean, and people start to collecting all the parts, she start to dry up.
Oh, that's the season, like, now. Yes, yeah, yeah. So June is the harvest
point of
harvest of, point. Of, oh, interesting. Of
it. But the reason why I'm bringing it is just because the one of the medical studies, and I was looking about it, okay, many other things that antioxidant, anti-inflammatory, antibacterial, fungal, anti-cancer, and diabetic. The information that I was looking at, I was trying to cross this herb in terms of how Tai Chi helps with hypertension. How can this herb, being a Chinese herb, because you know, Tai Chi being a Chinese practice, a Chinese art, right? Mm-hmm. Together, you know what I mean, and doing this practice, you know, to be able to helping with these disorders, right? How did you define the taste of cinnamon? I was a little bit confused into describing that, because since it's so hot, that's for sure. Yeah, when you
in the beginning, it has this sweet taste, I would say, mm-hmm. And then after that, it has this, for me, spicy, but then at the same time bitter.
Bitter. No, I
how would you describe it?
Very like okay, spicy, yes, of course, because of the hotness, you know, when it gets into it. Because I was trying and it was not a very good experience. That's why I'm trying to to figure it out what is the taste of it. But I think it's like a more, the smell is very pungent, you know, like the smell of the cinnamon. But I also agree with you. It can be bitter.
It can be bitter
and sweeter because it's
also
like
sweet. Yeah.
You know, because we always see the combination of a cinnamon with sweetening, like, and that's why it works so well for the digestive system also, because they for lowering the sugar in the blood, always connected sugar plus cinnamon to as an antidote, you know.
Like, yeah.
This is really, I was speaking about, like, you know, 15th century of medicine, you know what I mean? Like, it's when you're applying this.
Cinnamon
kind of
is a good one. And any other medical applications, or did you really only focus on the Tai Chi aspect with cholesterol and
No, I mean, of course, it does have the antifungal, as many of the these chemical components of cinnamon, like is cinnamic acid, limonolic acid. They are very common to use it for cosmetics and cleaning products anyway. So that's one of the things as antifungal. It's one of the things that we see it like in many of these creams or cosmetics when people putting in the face or stuff like that, because they have this property that is fundamental and they use it, you know what I mean, as from the plant. I think like the most... the distorting thing in terms of natural products is the fact that when you're using like products to extract the essential oils, you know what I mean, using the more when they extract like the tinctures, they make tinctures with alcohol or different type of solvents.
Yeah, like essential oils.
Yes.
Like you need to go through the tube and all that stuff.
Yeah, and they can be very bad for us, you know, like the solvents, not necessarily the oils. Also the oils, some studies I was looking at it, you can find like some of these terpenes, they can be bad in higher quantity anyway. But one of the things it is like they extract the oil from the plant, and of course depends also the solvent and you use it. Now in terms of contraindications of consuming cinnamon in high quantities is hypersensitivity for people who have problems in dealing with the stomach, for ulcers in the stomach, for instance, is always avoided to eating like it's hot, spicy, because
you can burn.
Indeed. Other thing is during the period, it can be quite bad for your system, you know, and also can be allergic. People can be allergic to cinnamon.
I didn't know that.
No, I thought that it was like these people who don't like the flavor, but you can also have cinnamon allergy on it. Yeah,
nice.
That's one of the things. And I found like one recipe while I was looking at it, because it could be very useful for some people, is about using cinnamon and honey for skin itching. But other information that I found was like you should not use cinnamon in the skin.
Interesting.
Yeah, right. So it kind of contradicted in both ways. And I think it's worth it to, you know, because I found also confusing things. I think I would like to shout out for people to look themselves, you know, before you're like, oh yeah, cinnamon is good for the skin. Other one saying cinnamon is not good for the skin. Mm-hmm. I think like the main way to thinking is like one cannot be one or another. It has to be one and other. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
And also it depends on the condition or something.
Yeah. It's so much to explore in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so cinnamon is the herb that I brought here.
Super cool.
It's
nice.
Cool, right? Yeah. Okay, Roxanne. So what is the herb that you brought it today?
My second one is called Argemonia upatoria. Argemonia upatoria.
Say again.
Argemonia upatoria.
So it grows like in Ecuador area? No?
No.
It doesn't grow in Ecuador area. And it's used for agriculture, heavily agriculture. No.
No
idea. So I don't know anything about Latin.
I mean, so the herb itself, I have never heard of this herb either. I mean, the common name is Argemonia.
Argemonia.
Just Argemonia.
Okay.
Not the Iputoria.
That's just the species. Species. Yeah.
And this Argemonia herb, it is part of the rose family. So the Rosaea.
Rosaeas.
Argemonia. And it means in Greek, lonely in the field.
Oh, lonely in the field. Why? She's like, really looks like a solitary plant.
It's just one, how do you call it?
One stem.
Yeah. And then it has these yellow flowers attached to the stem.
And it grows normally by herself or just in groups?
In groups.
Okay, because it's like lonely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just lonely. I guess lonely in one.
In one way.
In one way.
Probably could be in one height. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And then in the ancient Greeks, they use it to treat eye alignment. So it grows in June and then September. And it grows like in a swamp or in grassland. And you can use the leaves, of course, and the flowers. But the taste and smell, I couldn't really find much. But I would say it's bitter. Or you know what normal plants are? Or usually...
Yeah, bitter.
Bitter.
Yeah, exactly.
The
greenish, if you have to describe a color, you're just like, yeah, it's like, it takes the plant and it's like a color. Is like, yeah, indeed. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And going back to hay fever, so it's a good one for hay fever. So, but then you create this tincture out of it. And it's also good for your nose and ears.
But you is in drops or?
Probably in drops, yeah.
In drops, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then other beneficial things is also really good for the nervous system. It's another calmness. And it's also treated for Meniere disease, which is a rare disorder that affects the inner ear. I've never heard of that.
Oh, no. Okay. Yeah.
Meniere,
no.
And it has this psychic thing for your mental to soften things that are deeply buried and which you no longer know the cause because it was indigestible. So it brings up these deep aspects.
Oh, so it's so holistic in that sense. So it deals a little bit with
the mental
aspects of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you know in which type of practice was this plant used? You know what I mean? Like it's a Arabic plant. It's a European plant. It's an Asian plant. India, China. Like they have all these medical systems, right?
That's a good question. I didn't really go in depth with that because it was so many information, but I would say somewhere from the Greeks.
The Greeks. Yeah.
I don't know. Mm. And then for the digestion, it really stimulates the metabolism and it relieves the stomach and intestinal complaints. It's also a positive influence on the liver and the pancreas. Which is good for the for diabetes.
Yeah, the pancreas, yeah.
Pancreas, yeah. Yeah, so another powerful herb, good for urine, so it cleans the kidneys as well. And also good for the woman. So for a week or when you have a lot of menstruation, pro-use of menstruation.
Yeah.
And also good use for prolapse of the bladder and the uterus. And it helps also with abnormal vaginal discharge.
I cannot say too much about that because it's not something that I... hay fever, I will probably try to do something about that. Yeah. There's a tincture, you said that, right?
Yeah.
But then I have to bring like a recipe for making a tincture at home. would be a good idea,
yeah,
right?
There should be something. Yeah, maybe we could do that for our do-it-yourselves.
Indeed. Yeah, there you go. That's we a have good to one. Create some something that it really can help, because I really, really suffer from that.
Yeah. But do you do anything else?
I do also wash my eyes and my nose more than actually normally, but I, you know, like how to making a stream of water passing through your eyes to take it out, like anything that is in there, or through your nose is like breathing in and out quite for cleaning it up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my practice besides of, you know, the other things that I mentioned about, you know, cleaning the floor, the bed, and using a mask. I'm actually not using a mask, but that's what because of that reasons, you know what I mean? Like, but yeah.
Yeah, but we could definitely try this, making this tincture of...
Let's make a tincture.
of arigimonia.
Arigimonia. Yeah, first we have to figure out where we can get it.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Because the tincture, we're probably going to find some...
Do you think it's easy to make?
Yeah.
We'll see.
Some vodka, some high...
But don't you need those nice tubes and all that stuff?
Yeah, but that's all that all that thing is just to looking good. But it basically, it just, you know, a decoction is other one than you can do it, but with water, it's less efficient, but you also can do it. Mm. I mean, I'm saying less efficient because it's less, it's not so harmful if you have to do it with alcohol, because it's with alcohol, it extracts a lot. And I'm saying alcohol, it can be anything than ethanol, you know, is the one that we actually can eat, consume it without being so toxic compared to methanol or other type of solvents than people use it for making perfumes. But perfumes, probably it's not a bigger problem because it's, you don't ingest it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, so you can use these type of solvents for making it, but not directly to consuming like... Yeah, that's one of the things about like
interesting
solvents.
So that was it. That's going to be your second herb.
My second herb and the last herb of today, it is one called Myristica fragrant. Myristica fragrant. It's the herb of I'm bringing.
I have no idea what fragrant. That is.
Well, again, like one of the things about the using these herbs in Chinese culture, like traditional Chinese medicine, they were very popular actually during the medieval age from Eastern Asia. And how do they actually arrive here to, you know, countries before actually to Amsterdam, you know what I mean? They arrived first to Islamic countries, you know what I mean, during this medieval part times, and very well studied and explored by scholars, people were interested about it, philosophies, then, you know, many of them, they have books talked about these herbs from different countries, from China, and they try to translate it or make it official, as we are looking today at herbs who are not necessarily original from Europe, but from other countries. Unani, for instance, is a Arabic traditional type of medicine normally practiced by the Muslim community, by normally South or Central Asia. Unani is still very well practiced. Ayurveda is other one in India, right? Then also explored a lot in that area. Shamanic, they also use it. Right.
South America,
South America. Exist many types of medicine. They use it, herbs, and this one is a very common from through this medicine. That's why I'm bringing them up. It's just because this herb is common in this
in all of the
all these systems. Of course, more of them exist out there, but this is a common one. Even if it's not a very common a plant, then it grows. It's a tree also, like just to and then to say what the plant it is. It is a tree, and is a seed. What we consume it from the plant is a seed. It's a nut. And is a nutmeg.
Nutmeg.
Nutmeg. Yeah.
That's also nice herb.
Myristica fragrant. It's the nutmeg. actually, this plant, the Mariste fragrans, it's named by a Dutch botanist, Marijn, and I'm actually not going to try to say the last
name. Marijn Hoog?
No, Houtouren. Houtouren?
Martijn Houtijn.
Houtijn?
Houtijn?
Houtijn. Martijn Houtijn. Martijn Houtijn. Okay, bro. So Roxanne trying to help me here to pronounce the name in Dutch, then it's also actually quite difficult to pronounce, you say. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, also the spelling is also spelled in the old days.
Yeah, I mean, this is a Dutch botanist. I don't remember where I get like his name or where his era is from, but he basically just used this plant has so many names and so many different cultures anyway, because of that reason it was used with many. Now, the morphology, how the plant looks like. So it's, as a tree, I'm probably going to mentioning about the fruit because it's still a part of a fruit and the nut is the seeds of it and is covered by this very jelly-like red cover on the nut. And then it gets like this kind of reddish color when it dries up, you know what I mean? Like when and of course it's very attractive, you know, because it's very attractive because of that beautiful red color.
Yeah.
It's a tree, then it gets like 20 meters tall. It's very,
it's a big tree.
Yeah, it's a big tree. It's also very generous. It produces a lot of fruits and for a bit. Also this cover is of the plant. It's very rich in, as a spicy, you know what I mean? They also use it the many parts of the plant, but mainly as the seed and the cover of the seed, like, yeah, this thing will protect it. Now, talking about like flavors, of course, I think people are commonly known like the flavor of nutmeg, but I think it has like that type of sweetness, smell, and taste. It is strong.
It's really strong.
I think it's very strong. You just need a little bit to find the flavor when you have to put it in food.
So it's spicy?
Spicy and hot, yeah.
Spicy, hot.
Hot, yeah, exactly. That's probably how I describe that.
Do you like nutmeg?
I actually do. Yeah. I do.
Do you use it a lot in your kitchen?
I do have recipes. I can actually mention them. I use like when I'm doing with potatoes or with spinach, I use it. I use for my porridge in the morning. I use it, yeah. I found like when I was looking at more information about this herb, looking for a lot of meat products I use it. I don't eat meat myself, but you can use it for meat, for soups, sauces, baking some other goodies. Not necessarily have to be all salty, but sweet, as I mentioned, like porridge, rice porridge can be used it. In Dutch cuisine, is actually use it on the Brussels sprouts.
Yeah.
Yeah, and cauliflower.
Yeah,
and string beans, right?
Such a typical Dutch thing to do. Yeah.
It is, right? Using that nutmeg.
It's the only spice that we know, and then we.
But it is. You see that how common it is, you know, to use it. But guess what? You know, exists like side effects on this one because this actually nut. It is psychoactive. It has psychoactive effects.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it gives the hypersensitivity. Mm. Yeah. Mm. And because of it, it's also used in a positive way as an aphrodisiac, for instance. Yeah. But you also can enlarge the doses. You also can,
increase heart rate.
No, it gives you diarrhea.
Diarrhea.
Yeah.
If you consume too much.
Yeah, so that's the reason why when you take something that is super sweet or super salty and super heavy, it helps to digest whatever. Then it goes. You know,
so it's also a stimuli for your digestion.
Digested, yeah, system. Yeah, it's true. That's the reason why I'm connecting again this herb with Tai Chi, because in terms of hyperglycemia. You can take like this type of spice and lower the hypoglycemia, for instance, or hypertension. Also, it's also involved in that, you know, like, yeah, any of these effects.
Interesting.
And also full of the components. And I was looking at the chemical composition of it. Mm-hmm. It's all components that we are familiar with, you know, pinene, limonene, brunerol, terpenol, geraniol. It's all components, all these natural products coming from plants. Then we do it used daily, but we use it like in our dish soap, in our cosmetic products, in our like cleaning products, you know what I mean? Like shampoos, perfumes, and different things. These are quite fascinated to see of one plant can have so many of it. That's why it's so popular.
Yeah.
Of course, I have to go back to the colonial area, you know, like in the 16th century, Fonsérix is a Portuguese duke of Goa, was in India. He was the first like trading these goodies between India and Portugal, and of course the monopoly of the production here actually in the Netherlands, the Dutch East India Company, the VOC, trading like all these spices, you know, and making big empires over something that you find today in the supermarket and we don't even know the value of it, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. So I'm quite happy. I'm finishing here my herb because I'm quite happy to search a little bit of this this information up here, and not necessarily with my a fever, but but definitely regarding with Tai Chi. And a little bit of history also quite nice.
Yeah, super interesting. Okay. Yeah. So this was the end of our herb, excuse my Latin, number 6.
Yeah, herbology in our tongue. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, everyone. Thank you so much for listening.
You can find us on Instagram, The Health Hunters. Or you could email us, thehealthhunters@gmail.com. And if you have any questions, contact us. See you in the next one.
See you. Bye-bye.
Bye.